Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And welcome to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, part of the... I just remembered that we got dinner in there. All right. Welcome to Ever Beyond Radio. And, this is, Ever Beyond, and I'm here. There's been a conversation all week, that is brewing. A lot of us have seen, Courtney Brown's Farsight Institute, video called The War in Heaven. Some of you haven't seen the video itself, but I'm sure many of you have seen the trailers and interviews. There's one with Camelot. There's various others of Courtney and his viewers and the targets and all sorts of things. And it's a fascinating story, a very fascinating story, so much that it definitely deserves at least one Spock here.
Fascinating.
There we go. A single Spock there for... the story. So there's a context to all of it, because there's this enormous story, and this story has come to me. It started with a curiosity. I essentially had some sort of had a reading with a psychic many years ago in 2011. Yeah, that's about 7 years now. And it came, like, I'd been studying the rays and everything like that. So I had various other, creation stories and all this stuff. But in terms of the really, really enormously huge picture, this didn't come together until a couple of years ago. And the really, really big picture, has one, if you like, skirmish, or battle, or operation, that is what has resulted in the war in heaven scenario, which is essentially the destruction of the planet Maldek. So it goes way back and it goes way forward. You may have noticed I asked a question about future lives in the previous show. Because part of the picture, as you know, I'm looking for who I am, you know, who are you? I'm looking for who I am and how the hell I got here, and why is it that I've never felt comfortable here, and all of these other things, apart from just being socially inept and awkward and things like that. There's something, there's always been this overhanging bigger story. And so what is interesting is that all of the things that come from, readers or outside of, there's also been a correlation. So let me just start off now from my story, obviously, you know, I'm just, who I am. I'm a retired computer programmer, and I've got the, I'm playing music and I'm doing all this stuff. So I've got an interest in sound and audio and computers and recording. And I've been being a musician for several years. And, so I've got experience doing recordings and editing really quickly, which is very, very useful for doing what this is, for making radio podcasts. So, I used to make like an album a week out of material and editing it down and very quickly. So that's a rapid, rapid fire ability that gives me the ability to make archives and podcasts day after day, week after week. But it still worked. But anyway, so there I was. I've got these skills, I've always loved radio, but I've never known what it is that I'm supposed to talk about. That has been another thing. I've just been in those different things, doing what I do, learning about computers, learning about radio, learning about audio, da, 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 da. And it's like, for years I've had this thought in the back of my head that there's some information that I need to give to the world, or to learn, or to broadcast, once I've learned how to do all the broadcasting, if you see what I mean. I think most people come it the other way, you know, they've got a story and they learn about how to make recordings and all that stuff. Anyway. So this is, you know, this is how my story begins. And, I've been investigating this ever since I had that reading. So this reading, was made several years ago, and in it, the basic nuggets of this reading was, like, I asked, you know, when did I first come to Earth? And, the first thing she said was, oh, they left you behind. And I had this enormous feeling of, like, oh yeah, that's how I feel. You know, I feel like I've been left behind, you know? But I think that really, you know, a lot of human beings have this feeling as well. Maybe that's true as well. Maybe it's true of them. But this feeling of being left behind. And then she goes, oh, they blew up a planet. You came through the sun. You came from the future. What other nuggets were there? They blew up a planet. You really didn't want to blow up the planet. That you came to Earth. Because who we were looking for? We were looking for a bunch of renegade, intergalactic criminals, so to speak, who were being chased through time and, followed to Maldek, and then they blew Maldek up as a result of trying to annihilate them, and that they were actually hiding on Earth, in the Earth, and that I was part of a team that would, go in and mop up, you know, because we thought it was going to be easy. Obviously, it wasn't. Obviously, as we all know now, the war in heaven went horribly wrong, and there were many, many mass casualties, and it's a big deal. And, you know, destroying planets is not a thing that is, you know, usual or desired. You know, these are living beings. And great wisdom, and, you know, there's a big loss. So there it was. I got that reading. I thought, that's very curious. And I told a few friends about it. I was like, oh, I had this interesting reading. And one of them says, oh, well, you should check out Michael Tesarian. So I listened to this tape that she recommended me, and, sure enough, there was a story about people coming through the sun from the future. Thank you. from the future, destroying a planet, and all sorts of other, you know, bits and pieces, and that the remnants of this reptilian group became who we call the ruling elite of this planet. You know, and this has all been going on for many, many millions of years. And so that really, it kind of grounded that story in some way. And that's maybe one of the reasons that I started down this road. So every chance that I got, every time I heard anything about, like, asteroids, how the asteroids were created and all this stuff, comets, all these strange anomalies about our solar system, I kind of collect them, you know, like little nuggets. Like I was saying, it's like I've got a table somewhere that has various bits and pieces that have no real context, but I know that they're all connected with this. And so joining the dots and creating a whole story out of this is the kind of aim of what I'm talking about. So, there we are. I heard this thing. So, this account of these people coming through the sun, etc., is in a book called it's called Mahabharata, and the Srimad Bhagavatam and all this stuff. The stories that, Arjuna is taught by Krishna. All of these things. This is the story of what we call the war in heaven, but the war in heaven began long ago, far away, the other way. It's very complicated. So then we have to go back to the start of the big picture, and how that all fits in, and how do I find this out? And it came as a result of a personal experience that I don't want to really discuss too much because it's personal. But there was a moment when I discovered a vast amount of grief that I was holding. And the source of that grief was not from this life, that it's come from a very, very long time ago. And it was a very, very long ago and far away, not in a far distant galaxy, but in a far distant solar system, where the Draco reptilians appeared one day, and their representatives came down. So, if I may paraphrase, we're from the government and we're here to help you, kind of thing, representing the governing body of the Orion Empire. The Orion Empire is not just, there are Orions in the Orion Empire, there are Orions that are out of the Orion Empire. But it's essentially we all know what an empire is. It's a bit like Britain has an empire that is now called the Commonwealth. But it's still, ruled by an emperor who's called the Queen and all of this stuff. But essentially that's the reptilian Orion Empire model. Not all of the universe is like that, but the Orion ruled part is. And, so we've all discovered in the last few years, the Orion Empire or the Orion Consortium, is towards the end of its life. And it still is reflected in our entire governmental structure. All of these things, all the governing in Latin, all this Latin stuff, it seems to be part of the Orion influence. The Orion Empire is very much like the Roman Empire. All empires is the same thing. Yeah, it's just one of them. And then there's, Princess Leia and, the non-aligned to the Empire group. And perhaps there were people who didn't know about the Empire until a while. And these people, I believe, are the group we call the Lyrans from the Vega star system, Lyran. Right. Lyran constellation, Vega star system. That's right. Now, how to find it in the sky? I'd really recommend, if you've got a Linux, it's really easy, or even if you haven't, there's a piece of software called Stellarium, and I'll, find a chat room window to type in, www.stellarium.org. There you can get a live star map. Well, it's not live, but it's, as good as live as you can get. And it also gives you when certain meteor showers and cometary bodies are going to be passing. So Sorry, I'm just checking the chat room here. Has anyone actually sent any questions in? No. Okay. Is there a Nazi battle on the horizon? Okay. So if you look at Stellarium, it gives you the opportunity to see where all these different star systems lay in the sky. If you didn't have such cloud layers on you or chemtrail layers that you couldn't see the stars. When I was growing up in London, the only stars you could see were the stars of Orion and that famous belt, Alnitak, Alnilam and Mintaka. A lot of the stars have names that begin with Al because their name comes from their Arabic word, and Al just means the. There is a star system called, or a star called Al Ghul, which means the ghoul, you see. It's very interesting that, it's that there's also a computer language called Algol, spelt the same way. Yeah, that's right. You can download and install Stellarium. You can get phone apps. Devin was saying yes. Anyhow, stars and so back to Lyra. Now, if you want to find Lyra, you will look towards the north, and when you look in the north, you see generally one of two constellations that is like very obvious. One is a very W-shaped constellation, which is known as Cassiopeia or Cassiopeia, depending on your accent. The other that you see is what's known as the Great Bear or the Plow or the Big Dipper. And those two constellations are, if you like, if you were to put them on the edge of a circle, where the center of that circle is the North Star, due north, you see the two, if you look at the plow like a saucepan, the edge of the saucepan, the top two stars point inwards towards the center, which is the position of Polaris. How to find Lyra in the sky. So if you go to the plow, you follow the top two stars of the plow to the center, or the north point, which is called Polaris, the little star. And if you draw a circle from Polaris to the plow is one third of the way around. The next one around is Cassiopeia. And on the other third around is part of what is known as the constellation of Cygnus, which is a large cross, sort of like a Christian cross shape. It's like uneven arm. And that's the flying swan of Cygnus. Just near to that is a little diamond-shaped constellation. And on the tip of that diamond is a very bright star, which is called Vega. It's one of the brightest stars in the night sky, because it's quite close. And that's one of the Lyran cluster, which is when you hear about people talking about Lyra, it's one of the planets around one of the stars around Vega and the Lyran system. So, I hope we've established that. Now, that's where Lyra was. When the government or the Orions arrived, apparently refusing their kind offer is taken as a personal insult, and very rapidly a large amount of fighting broke out, which involved the destruction of at least four of the Lyran planets. We see a lot of that in sci-fi films. And it's a common theme we've seen in Star Wars when, what was it that was destroyed? Naboo? Is it Naboo that was destroyed? I don't know. I'm sure someone in the chat room. Okay. All right. Okay, star planet on the southeast side. That's what you're looking at there, Neo, is Sirius. Sirius is a triple star, which is why it shines multiple colors. They're all kind of so far away, they all seem to be at the same point, but there are three stars in its field. So, yeah, that's a small constellation. So there's the little clusters of stars that hang out. So there's the Lyra system, and what then happened was, has been told by various people in various forums and on radio shows, and, you know, obviously, since it's been part of my background investigation, I've tried to bring in as many people as I know who, or as I've heard, that can give part of that story. Because I not only think it's a powerful personal story, and that's, you know, my personal interest in it, it also seems to be the story of why we got here, how we got here, why things are the way they are, and why we have this sense that at some point everything was all right once, and something terrible has happened. Not everybody has the feeling that something terrible has happened, but there's something that kind of, it's part of the big question mark of things. So, yes. Yeah, I think it's Tatooine that was destroyed. But anyway, the destruction of Maldek comes much later in the timeline of things. So there's that, it's a kind of, well, it's a key story, but it's like one battle in a large war. The greater conflict began, as I said, almost a billion years ago, in Lyra, in the Lyran constellation. Now, I don't know everything. As I said, I keep qualifying, I'm constructing this as a kind of mind construction, as a theory. But there are lots of data points along the way and, lots of corroborating stories. I like to listen to people's stories before they've spoken to me. But they all have the common theme of, the reptilians arriving on Lyra, and causing great havoc and great damage. And that it's never been the same since, and that somehow we've been at war. Well, it appears the Lyrans were essentially somehow unarmed, or and certainly unprepared for this. And it's been a great shock, and it's a shock that I feel is like at the very root of the human existence. And why we might be the way we are. And people that I've spoken to have not only corroborated that story, is and added to it that it's actually part of what the reptilians like to do, to keep everybody under a mind control. And so as far as I can see, we're coming out of it. We're starting to come round, after being repeatedly, receiving blows on the head, and wondering what the heck's going on. So, at the moment, I want to play a piece of music. Now, I don't know what, maybe, And welcome back to All Spirit Radio, to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, part of the Alternative Sunday Service. So, yes, the greater context of the whole thing. So, yes, many of you have heard some of this story. Many of you may have a feeling, well, hang on a second, this all sounds like Star Wars, or this sounds like a science fiction film that I've seen. I suggest that may be that this story has been trying to tell itself all over all over the world, all over, all across time. It's something we need to know because, part of this is that the Lyran group, was very susceptible to what we call, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. There's been a cumulative amount of shock and, fear and terror and destruction, that was at the beginning of this thing. Certainly at the beginning of what they call the diaspora, the Lyran diaspora, as, the Lyrans spread out throughout the galaxy in order to escape this terrible event that happened in their past and trying to put it behind them and rebuild. Now, some groups went to, these places that we know about, you know, that we've heard of, Sirius. They went to some colonies in the Sirius, constellation. Some to places in the Orion constellation, some to, Arcturus, and probably everywhere, including some group that went to the Earth and have, been colonizing the Earth from the inside rather than on the outside, where it's considerably more dangerous to be on the outside of a planet than it is on the inside. Consider, if you were on a ship in the ocean, would you prefer to be on the deck, B, in the hull, C, on the outside of the hull? The first two are infinitely preferable. But here we are, we're stuck on the hull of this great big planet moving through the ship of space. And we're subject to its vicissitudes, including dust and remnants of previous battles, including the one we were talking about. Well, mostly in this solar system, the dust and debris is the result of this single explosion. Where can we go? So Lyrans, right? So I had this personal experience and uncovered lots of feelings one by one. Through those feelings came understandings. So that fits in. Lots of aha moments through this journey. What I got down to right at the end is not a very pleasant thing, which was this enormous rage, which I was feeling, which was of, I will kill you all. It was overwhelming and powerful and, kind of not really what you want to find back in your past lives, you know, where all that came from. I'm sure I and many other members of that group decided to do something about it. We may have explored interdimensional space, other quiet parts of the universe, and indeed time travel backwards and forwards in the future, looking for quiet places, eventually finding a cluster in the Pleiades where using time travel to move forward in time to a time when there are no more reptilians in the galaxy. Now that's an interesting concept. Because it means that means that at some point the reptilians ended their conquest of the galaxy. So, and that may indeed be a paradox, because that's what we were looking for, and also somehow had an influence in creating that space through things that happened in the future. This is all the power of intent. So, plan is, create a race of beings who can defeat, or at least contend and defend against, the reptilian forces. And we know that the reptilian forces are considerable, not to be messed with. They have much organic technology. They obviously have fourth dimensional powers and existence, and are able to manipulate in the fourth dimension, so they can hear your thoughts and they can anticipate your actions. Is very difficult to contend with. So what would you do? You know, what would you do to contend with them? You'd have to create a group of beings who had what they had. What we call super soldiers. But obviously way beyond, who knows, but way beyond what we have at the moment in terms of super soldiers. And we know also, you know, this is the, you know, going over to the dark side of it, that we created the super soldiers to, for a particular end, but what suffering was caused in the creation of, because as we've discovered, that the creation of super soldiers on Earth is, well, it's a Nazi process. It's heartless, I suppose my fear is that that I went very much over to the heartless side of things. At the same time, here we are. Does the end justify the means? Who knows? I very much hope that the training and the techniques that were used were more humane. Because I imagine that Lyrans, even though they may be full of anger and rage, may also have a degree of compassion. That might be very hard to hold all that together. I don't know. Maybe that's the things that we're still working out. So yes, Neo saying basically light workers stroke light warriors incarnated through reptilian channel. Alright. Oh, that's something else. I'm just gonna my mouse. I have this mouse that goes across five screens. It's it catches me sometimes. Okay, so from Lyra, fast forward in the future, into the future times. Begin a project, create super soldiers who can defeat reptilians, create weaponry, create breeding programs, all of these things, create soldiers, create huge amounts of militarized Pleiadians. This is why Simon Parks is always saying the Pleiadians are warlike. And then that brings us to the Maldek operation. Again, this is conjecture on my part, but the outline of the story is this was a solar system that was controlled at that point by the Orion Reptilian Empire, and at that point there is, or there was, a stargate, perhaps in our sun or near our sun, that is used to arrive, like it's like a kind of truck stop, where you can stop and refuel and get new supplies and things like that. And that's what this solar system is. It's like a big market. and a bar, you know, it's very much like a lot of these sci-fis. Because, you know, the ideas may have come from somewhere. So the idea is that the reptilians had several, what you would call a Death Star, like you have in Star Wars. That's a kind of moon-shaped ship, moon-sized ship, that has a beam or weapons on it that can destroy any ship. So basically they were destroying ships that came through the gateway if they weren't reptilian. So it caused major ruckus because it blocked up what was a very essential kind of trade route, if you like. Because, you know, as above, so below, what it's like here is what it's like there. Apart from the war bit, there's not so much war going on elsewhere. This is kind of where it's all focused. And that might be part of the story. So here we are. And by the way, if you want to sort of send in some questions or put some points or add some memories, if anybody's got any memories or other parts of this story, I would love this to be you know, much more of a larger group effort, because I believe it was a group effort to start with, and you know, I don't want to be just sitting here alone saying this, because I'm sure that a lot of the people who are sitting in the chat room are also Lyran stroke Pleiadian stroke, you know, part of this conflict, perhaps even some reptilians as well, because we need to heal this. And not all reptilians are Draco reptilians. Not all reptilians are bad, or bad as far as we're concerned, you know, that, you know, we're not below them on the food chain. That's point, right? You know, what kind of stories? I'm talking about memories or, dreams that you may have had that resonate with this story that I'm telling you. This is the operation, if you like, the Maldek operation, that kind of got me, or what was me, here to this planet, all those years ago, and then the fence went down. So that's part of the story. And I haven't actually seen anything on Courtney's thing about the fence after that. So yeah, a lot of us are looking for why we're here. What am I doing here? What the actual heck we're doing here? and, you know, what is going on to heal this situation? Now, I believe that, you know, when I'm doing a show, say, with Alex Collier, and he's talking about the Andromedan fleets that are here and all of the other ships and everything like that, that there's a showdown kind of coming. Everybody's got a different word for it, but I believe that we're here at the beginning of it. We're seeing it happen, starting with what is called the takedown of the Cabal. Because the Cabal are the ones that we've been chasing all these thousands and millions of years. And finally, finally, all of the races that have been bothered by these beings, have all gotten together and agreed that it's time to mop this thing up and finish it. And that seems to be what's happening. Kramik, that was the name of the people. Yeah. So, if anybody wants to call in the next hour with any stories that they may have, you know, you may have even written a story, you know, written a little, story about such and such and such and such, which you realize, hang on, that fits in with this greater picture. So the timeline goes from way back in Lyra. And obviously, you know, we were doing stuff before then, before Lyra. But Lyra's the entry point. And what then happened is an enormous diaspora. People running away from this terrible thing that has happened. The details of this are quite horrendous, and Audrey's spoken about that. So here we are. There we were at Lyra, then fast forward to beyond today. And then there was decision to release the control of this solar system from the control of the Draco Reptilians, who, as I said, were destroying everybody with their Death Stars. So the base that controlled these Death Stars was on Maldek. And they obviously had a bit of an arsenal under there. It was a subterranean base, and so it would need some kind of specialized equipment to go down and remove it. Now, this is something in the order of 120 million years ago. We don't know exactly how much. Again, these are still patchy ideas. Some people say it was like 50,000 years ago. People have different ideas. The Courtney Brown War in Heaven story kind of comes in about here. And I've only seen half of it so far. I've only seen the first half, where it feels like most of this story that they're seeing is happening on Mars. So we come in, we enter this story from the sun, and there's a Pleiadian fleet, and first of all, they come from the sun and scoot as fast as they can to Mars. The idea was to place an EMP device in the atmosphere of Mars above the reptilian lookout base, to blindside it, to destroy the base, and to leave Maldek vulnerable to entry from the second part of the fleet, which was to drop a bunker buster on the base in the underground of Maldek. Now, again, this comes from my conjecture. There's no stories there, but it was like, oh, well, this is probably what happened, because the effect of the EMP weapon was to not only to send out an EMP blast, but it ignited the atmosphere of Mars. And so that wasn't intended and was, it caused fire in the atmosphere, fire in the air, and burned all the oxygen away and suffocated all the people of Mars, which was a thriving moon of Maldek. So, number one, cock up. It didn't turn up too well. Saffron, this is the Mahabharata story. It may be not the Mahabharata. It's one of these ancient books that Michael Cesarion was talking about in his video, which is known as The Destruction of Atlantis. And you can see this. It's only a very short reference he makes to the whole thing. But the story ends up sort of sounding the same. Now, yes. So Biker Blondie is saying, occasionally I have this dream where I'm laying on this hillside looking up at the sky and there are lots of UFOs shooting at each other with laser beams and blowing each other up. Seems so real. So, yes, that's possible. That sounds like there were more, there's more in battle. There's bigger battles that are also going on at the same time. Perhaps as distractions. However, this enormous ship comes tumbling in, and it's a bunker buster, so it can drill deep into the ground, and essentially is a kamikaze type. situation. Probably not an automated situation. They knew they weren't coming back. So the base underneath the surface of Maldek, it wasn't intended to blow the planet up, from what I understand. Some people say it was, to destroy it completely. But whatever it was the most humongous explosion, which ripped the planet apart and blew it to pieces. And it was a kind of agricultural level evolution, it seems. Sasquatch lived there. There were pyramids. And it was, you know, it was really, really, a terrible thing. It was really a terrible thing that, that happened not only to the people of Maldek and the people of Mars, but to the Pleiadians who did it. It's very difficult to be in battle, and, when you're empathic, you can feel everything. So it was incredibly heartbreaking, for everybody concerned. So, it's from I Am Word. I remember repeating that same energy many moons after, and in an attempt to quell the religious zealots inadvertently harming innocent lives. Yeah, so much has been done in an attempt to, in an attempt to right things, to set things right. But the event turns out to be totally, yeah, how can I say this? Totally, catastrophic. Hang on, I need some tea. It's actually very difficult to talk about, and it's, you know, hard to kind of pull all these pieces together. And, you know, I would like to invite you all, to join me, in the next hour and to see where we can go and how we can maybe heal this. Because, you know, it's a big tear in our space-time memory continuum. So, Maldek, having been blown up, now is exploding. Pieces are flying everywhere. Not only pieces, but also large globules of water flying off into space. These eventually become comets and meteors, and I believe is responsible for the greater amount of water on this planet that we have. So, yes, right. Yeah, I have lots of things to talk about. I'm trying to wrap this into a sort of neat little package. But basically, the Pleiadians came from the future, came down into the distant past, and this operation happened, which destroyed a planet in our solar system, which totally released the control of this solar system. It was, you know, in its eventuality, it had its effect. In that this solar system is now open again for trade and travel, and is not so much in the control of the Orion Empire. Its influence has been focused and concentrated to this planet here, what we are on. And indeed is underground of this planet, what we are on once again. What my part in that operation seemed to be was to come to Earth. And according to Audrey, I didn't last too long. It was horrible. And so here I am in the reincarnation cycle, not remembering a thing until this reading. And it all starts coming back. So, what can I say? I'm going to play some music now, and I'm inviting you to call in if you would like to discuss any of the things that I've been saying in the last hour or so. Now, let's see if I can find. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yeah, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio here, broadcast from Ever Beyond Radio. This is the show, Ever Beyond. I am JP. That which runs Ever Beyond, etc. All the way back. Thank you for all your donations. We're having a little bit of trouble with PayPal at the moment, and some people not being able to accept donations. But there is a donation button on both the Listen site and the main home site that you can donate to there. So thank you for all those donations, and it really helps. Here we are. We now have Ray and Patrick and Star, and we're talking about not just the destruction of Maldek, the war in heaven, but the greater story of Lyra, the Pleiades, the Draconian Empire, the Orion Empire, and our history here on planet Earth as a result of all that conflict. So, welcoming to the first corner of the round table, Ray Rowe from Pinner in London. Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Hope everybody else is doing fine. Yeah, it's very interesting. Funny you used to say that about the PayPal thing, because I tried a couple of weeks ago to get on your page, and I can't get on none of your pages to do any donations to PayPal. They won't accept it. Funny you should say that. But
you should say that. See, indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah. Great. I don't have a lot of dream time sort of thing. But I have a lot of feelings. And when you talk about it, Jay, it just really opens me up. It really does. I just sit there, I can, tears just flow down my eyes. They really do.
Alright, so, direct, let's go there with the raw stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So, there I'm talking about this story, right? Could be anything about anybody, could be just a bunch of BS. But you're feeling stuff. And it's such a story that you found yourself interested in various things in your lifetime, which display a kind of underlying character that has always been who you are, in out of this body, if you see what I mean. The underlying self of yourself.
I was different from the family. I told you that before, many times. And I've been sort of like black sheep, sort of thing. Always in science fiction, that sort of thing. And everything's always made me in that sort of way. And, you know, listening to your show for, I mean, like 3.5 years now, sort of thing. And, but when you come up with that story, the story just hits me, it really hits my heart. It goes straight to my heart. And, you say so, but there's a feeling there. Like I said, I don't really have dreams of it. I had weird dreams with my family, and there was always something chasing us.
It's okay. It seems to be half, I'm having a problem. I think Firefox is interfering with my broadcast system, and it's freezing every so often. Let me just fix it so that you can tell your story and it won't get interrupted. All right, we're getting a bit of interruption.
Okay,
there we are. Okay, I managed to sort out the offending program that was getting in the way, and it basically kind of ground my broadcast to a halt. Where we were.
Mm-hmm.
We're joined by Sean, but before we come to you, Sean, you were talking about dreams where your family was always being chased. Ray Rowe, take it away.
Mm. Well, it's just a recurring dream when I was a young child. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, hearing you perfectly. You're coming through great.
Oh, great. So it was a child dream. I never had it when I got older, but I had it very much as a child. It's always been chased, and the family was in front, but I was always the one behind, you know, like protecting the family as my seven siblings. And like a dark something behind you, and it's always grabbing. But why was I always the one behind? And I know the reason why now, because I was always the protector of the family. You know, does that make sense, Jay?
Sure. You know, sure. So
yeah,
was there a sense that you found an escape route and you were hurrying them into,
yes,
like a, yes. So this is part of the great diaspora. Exactly. Sean, would you mind muting your mic until you come on, please? Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
So it's like
it's very weird as a child. You can never understand it, you know. But as you know, you grow old and you realise certain things, and you listen to your show, it opened me up a lot. And but so I understood it looking back. Like I was the person who was protecting the family. Why I was chosen, why me, I don't not know. But this is certain things what happens in your life. You are chosen to do certain things, and source or whatever it is will open up your life in a certain period of time where you will come a certain person to help humanity to out of this situation that we're in now, this dark period, and bringing it back into the light. So that sort of just reminds me of that dark dreams I used to have as a child. You know, I'm not sure if I'm making much sense here. But every time you talk about the Lara thing, I can't remember anything about past lives, but when you talk about it, my feeling, and I always go with my feeling, especially my gut feeling, always have done it all my life. My gut feeling has always helped me go through many dark periods and told me to leave, and I have left, and things have happened. So the Lara thing always just makes me feel that I was there. I can't explain I was there. I can't tell you how I was there. But I know in my feeling I was there. So that's about as much as I can say on it, really, JP.
So, thank you for that, because that's something that is... what I keep talking about is these sort of subconscious underlying feelings that lay back.
Yeah.
They're like, and ain't they are literally the most ancient memories that we can possibly have in our DNA. We know it, and yet we're told, oh, yeah, you evolved out of some nematode bloody sitting in the Pacific one day after a volcano or something. And that's who you are. You're just an evolved slug, you know. That's what evolution, the myth of evolution tells us, is that, you know, we're nothing and we came out of nothing and we just nothing, you know. Whereas the reality is that there is a greater noble race that has been brought to its knees, tortured and mind controlled, and some people escaped and did something about it.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting. What previous show, what Kaylin was saying, when I had that short reading with him, he said quite a lot of things which I've heard many times on other people to be readings. So I'm working with a group now at the moment, and hopefully we will be coming together and do a little bit of broadcasting, maybe on your show. So we have to see that, how that goes. But it is the feeling. The feeling is the strongest thing to me at the moment, anyway.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, Ray. And so next on our call, we bring in Patrick. Hi, Pat. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You can back off the mic a little bit.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, yeah, during the break, you know, you called in and you said that you had these, you had certain feelings which you've been, you know, again, triggered. Do you want to expand on some of the feelings, you know, tell their story, as it were?
I'd love to. Thank you. What Ray shared was also hit me very deeply in that, a knowledge or a feeling in the gut that I've had as well. When I would listen to your shows, JP, I'd start crying. When I would hear about the Lyran trauma, I didn't even know why at the time, but it just hit a chord so deeply. James Taylor's song, Fire and Rain. Whenever I hear that, it just reminds me of Lyra. It's like, you know, this sense of being a connected race and in love. And then it's just like, you know, playing machines flying, you know, falling from the sky. And just the concept of this war that's been going on such a long time. For me, it's more of a feeling and a calling than anything. And it's not because I can't kind of connect with some maybe past lives and stuff, but they're so kind of light and ethereal that it's hard for me to ground in those, but I can certainly ground it in the feeling. And feeling is one of that this is true. This, whatever it is true. There's at least aspects of the story are true, and they hit me so deeply. And just like Ray said, every time, it's not like once, but every time.
Thank you very much, Pat. Sean, I want to bring you next. I know the star is waiting there, but there's more to this. Sean,
yes,
how are you doing? This is Sean. Bring the lights.
Great. You know, I know the Lyran sent me here to do a specific job, and it's. I know they sent me here from the future, like millions and millions of years. And I'm here to help someone do something very special. And even Colin told me I was one of his guardians. And that's the second time I heard that in the last few months, you know. Somebody else told me that too. And my real life, my normal life here, I've been in law enforcement officer. I've worked for the FBI. I worked for the NYPD, and I've done different jobs in life, but I don't do those jobs anymore, but it seems like it's all connected. And I know I'm like a time traveler from the 11th dimension, and I know I came here to I can't say what I'm here to do, but someone someone close to me is going to do something special for the planet, and I hope it. You know, I want it to happen.
So, you're a policeman here.
I was.
There's a sense of guardianship and enforcement kind of thing. Yeah. And so, how does that relate, if at all, to the above being, Sean?
Because this is a war, a spiritual war. It's like a conflict. I call it a conflict, and it's been going on a long, long time. And I was told that the Prime Creator sent his best people here in this sort of generation, and the next generations to follow. To correct the wrongs. That's what, like, a shaman told me. So I believe that's true.
And the big question is, how are we doing?
I think we're doing great. I think it's a process. Everything has to be. You said trauma. Trauma takes a long time because we're all traumatized. Our DNA is traumatized. We're emotionally traumatized. I've had my dealings too on this planet with different entities, and they traumatized me. And I want to, you know, at the time I didn't think it was a learning experience. You think, what are these things doing bothering me? But, they actually teach you. They teach you about life and they teach you what's right and what's wrong. And I've seen what's right and what's wrong in this world. I've seen it from the heart of men and the heart of beings that aren't from this place.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
So we all have a deep sense, these like kind of deep feelings that almost have no words, and yet we might watch some film or some TV show, or somebody might tell you a story, or you might just see the corner of a building and misinterpret it, and they'll, ooh, that's different. You know. Star, I would like to bring you in now. Well, basically we were primed about this, you know, you were talking about, movies like Star Wars and all this stuff. And I wanted to bring in, have you read anything about this group on this call right now? Because everything's significant.
I was going to start off with something else, but I was talking with Vanessa earlier, and it was really coming through, and she said, everybody keeps telling you this, and I said, I think you know it, you're just waiting. It's like we're all gathering at Wolf Spirit Radio. We can all see it now, and within us we feel it, and so coming together, and there's more of us, but it's like, this is going to be a home base hub portal for people to come together for what is coming next. And it is a bunch of us old souls that are remembering and recalling so that we can, wow, is that the word? Triage. It's like when this comes, people are going to be shaken. They're not going to know exactly what is going on. And I don't so much mean a cataclysmic event or not. It's more the real awakening. When people really wake up and it's in their face. You know, the alarm clock's been going off for a while and people keep hitting the snooze button. They keep hitting the snooze button. You got the sound sleepers that just cannot wake up. Well, eventually the bed gets tipped over. They get water thrown in their face. They get jerked out of bed. And that's, we're at that point now. And for those people that didn't get to wake up on their own slowly, it's going to be abrupt. And for us here and many others across the planet, we're just one section, one group here from across the planet, that are coming into that, we're coming into our knowing. And it is remembering who we are and where we've been and what we've done and what's happened so that we can move forward and upward and, yes, heal all this. And that's what I see is going on. Now, for me, I've had that experience of being out in my backyard at night, my own backyard, 10 feet from my door, and looking up at Orion and just bursting out into tears, bawling, homesick. Home, so homesick. I want to go home. But where's home? I'm literally having the conversation with myself in my own backyard. You're in your own backyard, Sharon. Where are you going? This isn't home. Home's up there. Where's home? I don't know. You know, so I've got that. I've got, you know, being raised by a sci-fi geek dad. You know, I was in tune with it. I loved it. And I've always known that wasn't just, you know, a cool movie. You know, there's something to it. It's just instinctually, I knew. And for whatever reason, since my kids were little and they're both grown now, I've joked with them. I said, I've got a spaceship somewhere. It's cloaked. My remote, the batteries are dead. I can't find it. And when I find it, I'm getting the heck out of here. And, you know, they go laugh. And I've said it so much, I believe it. Myself, and I really believe it. Lyrans are the cats, correct?
Say again?
The Lyrans are the cats, correct?
There are, from what I can understand, there are various groups. The Lyra was a collective of many different beings, some including like lion people, and it was a whole bunch of, you know, but it was like a collective of happy people who lived together in harmony. You know,
it's like, okay, well,
you know, that
just
fairyland where people, you know, once upon a time, that was Lyra or Lyra or whatever it's called, or Vega.
Well, okay, that brings up the other point. Well, one, I was going to say, I've always, I feel like I say that all the time, I'm always, one of the animals that I always loved collecting as a child was tigers and white tigers. And I just thought they were the coolest thing. But I've also still, and you all heard me say this, I'd love to go have a picnic with a Sasquatch. I just think they're the coolest things out there. And I am so intrigued because they seem to have the interdimensional quality to them. So there's something special about them. What else was I going to say? The feeling of it hurts to be on Earth. It's like in this mission, you know, my life, I've said that, you know, it hurts to be here. I don't want to do this again. I've had many a conversations with God to make sure I don't have to go through this again. And the point that I keep getting back is you're doing this so that nobody has to go through this again. That's why we're here, so that we don't have to keep doing this, so that we can get out of this loop, so that we can make things right, so that we can heal. Yeah. Yeah, I know we're winning. I know we're going to be successful. I know it is a battle. It is a spiritual battle. It is, I was in a conversation yesterday with somebody and I'm like, just drop all the labels of our divisions against each other and understand it's good versus evil at this point. It's not about political sides. It's not about race. It's not about all, you know, who's on it's literally good versus evil on this planet. And Trump is, you know, whatever, I don't go with everything anybody says, okay, but on the bigger picture and with other things I've shared, right now is a time for us to move up into this energy to get to where we need to be for the rest of this mission. Now, the other thing, if you want me to bring it up now, is the thought that came into my head was, okay, so we've been told this, so let's put all of those sci-fi stories together. So we've got, you know, you've got Star Wars, you've got Star Trek, you've got Battlestar Galactica, you got Voyager, you've got all the other little various science fiction storylines and beings and entities and aspects and angles. Now, I'm not saying 100% of them are part of it, but if you want to see a bigger picture, then get all the pieces and see what fits. And there's probably a lot more there that's been right in front of our face as far as finding our answers that, you know, we're like right now looking for. Does that make sense?
Very much. Very much.
Caught you in the middle of some duty. Anybody else have something to add to what I'm saying, guys? Sean or Ray or Patrick?
I've had many dreams like that. And I guess your reflections, you know, you're saying, what am I doing here? Why is this happening? And then you feel, like you said, you feel homesick because you know you're from another place. And I used to think my parents weren't my parents because, I believe that I switched places with the person that was in this body when I was 5 years old. And it was a hard thing to deal with, especially when you're 5 years old. It's like being alone. And that's why I know I'm a walk-in with all this stuff. And I've had, you know, Colin was talking about some stuff today, and, I am familiar with Colin. I've spoken to him. I'm sort of friends with him, and I've had many dreams about what he's talking about. I've had maybe 100 dreams over and over, the same dream over and over about this event that everyone's talking about.
Oh yeah, I want to mention that too.
And I had one recently, and it was very vivid. It was in color, and I don't think it'll be a bad thing. You know, I think it's going to be a good thing. You know, that we change into something, or the earth changes and sort of cleanses itself of, you know, the dominance and the hatred that's been here for so long. It needs to be done.
And, yes.
And there's a lot of beings that are here or were here. I know they were removed. When I say removed, I mean by force. Sometimes they were killed, because they were, really, really, really negative. And they've been, from what I know, they've been doing these experiments and these programs, and I don't know how many programs. It might be, you know, 3 dozen types of programs that's been going on for a long time. And it's against our free will. So, I can understand when people say, oh, you know, this group or that group, they're okay. I've had a good experience with them. But from what I've seen, when you take away someone's free will and you put some kind of mind control or thoughts into their head, and you create illusions that aren't necessarily true. And
then you've just usurped God's direction and divine power over them. You usurped their free will to connect to divinity. Law. Yes.
And we have universal laws. A lot of us don't know them because we weren't told them. We were just told what the Catholic Church or one of these other type of religions taught us, and that's not universal law. That's something someone created to create dominance over other beings. And those beings are us. And this is going to come to a conclusion, and it's going to be, like I said, a good thing.
Yes.
But sometimes, you know, like they say, you got to make an omelet, you got to break a few shells. There might be some pain, but it's going to be a good pain. It's going to be a relieving pain of healing what we need to be healed.
The pain you feel when the bone gets set back into place.
Right.
You know, you break the leg and it hurts like hell, but you got to put it back, and it hurts when you put it back too, but then it heals.
You're a mother. You went through a lot of pain, and you had something beautiful, right?
Yes, twice. Yeah,
right. So pain is not necessarily bad all the time, you know? It's sometimes I think in the grand scheme of things it would be a good thing. Because like I said, I know I've been sent here and a lot of people have been sent here and we're here to do certain things and to show the way and we all have a different piece. You have a piece, I have a piece, the people in the chat room have a little piece, JP is putting us all together and it's a safe place. Listen, the first time I told a story about being attacked by, these mantid beings, it was really hard for me to talk about that. I was uncomfortable because I've had, you know, certain jobs in my life and I've taken psychologicals and I've never brought this stuff up because let's face it, you're crazy if you do, right? And I know no one could tell me those things didn't happen. And that's why I know there's good and there's bad. And I've seen both. I've seen it in humans. I've seen it in people who act very badly. And hopefully that's going to come to an end where there's this love, this compassion, this kindness on this planet where people, you know, can be people and they can know who they are. I always wanted to know who I was. And I've been slowly waking up since I was 11 and I know who I am. I don't have the whole picture. I think I have a good grasp on, you know, who I am. And I, you know, like I said, you know, the Lyran sent me here because I think you have to adjust because it's such a hard place, this planet. And I know we all came from higher dimensions. So, you have to come down. You have to come down to this dimension. And it's so confusing. Even just dealing with money and, you have to deal with money every day. It's just a hard thing.
Money and time.
That are just, you know, hurt. And they just hurt the money. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was interrupting you. I thought it's money and time. You know, it's that they're limiting or they're restricting in some ways, even though that they're both limitless. It's like, I don't even know if I understand what I'm saying right now.
Also the two tracks that I played earlier.
Oh, heck yeah. Wow. I was going to bring up I mentioned it in chat, back to Maldek and Mars and all that. I think when Laura was, she had to be like 10, 12, around that age. I don't even think she was 12. But she came in to breakfast one morning, she told me, she's like, Mom, I got to tell you about this dream. It was weird. It was Mars. She was on Mars and she said she saw this whole, this row of huge machines, like huge, like building size machines all in a row. And I don't know if it was her or she was watching somebody go from machine to machine or trying to outrun them to stop them or something. But all the machines or all the things exploded, like one right after the other. And it blew everything up. And for, you know, a kid that age, it wasn't into all this to have such a weird far out there dream. But then again, she's also the child that's tried to blow her head off and is still here and is my big blonde haired, blue eyed, long tongued, very talented child. So, but I say she's got a long tongue. Her dad has a long tongue too. You know how some people just have a longer tongue than other people. She didn't touch her nose. I can't do it. But it's just all these little things, you know. She had the little heart-shaped face and big blue eyes when she was a kid. And I wrote in her baby book, she looks like an alien. So
have you have you shown her the War in Heaven video?
No, I haven't. Maybe I'll see her in a couple weeks, but yeah.
It might, because there's stuff. It's very similar to this dream that you were talking about that she had. So, I'd recommend it. I really would. I mean, it's long.
Well,
it's a bit boring, but you know, it's a lot of data. I mean, he's trying to do a scientific thing. You know, he's trying to get it really strictly double blind. They don't know what they're viewing. They're just viewing numbers. But when you put it all together in the right context, you get the idea of the target that he's looking at. So it's quite interesting. And it talks about huge machines.
Well, if you put together what's happening with us here now, with the prophecy, the Bible prophecy, end time prophecy, whatever you want to call it, or even the Mayan calendar, you come to the end of this age, and for whatever reason, you know, things didn't go on, and if you look at the Mayan calendar, everybody says it ends. Well, I look at it as a circle. It's just, I don't know, turn it again. It just goes around again, but the thing that we have been programmed with this Mayan calendar glyph thing that we've all looked at is it ends. Okay, well, it's a circle. Shouldn't it go around again? Well, why does it end? Well, you've got the Bible prophecy, and, you know, take it or leave it, whatever you want, but there's a lot of stuff in there that's coming about. Now, one thing that I've come to believe, and it's just a knowing feeling within my own self, is yes, those are the prophecies. They're not written in stone. This is how things can turn out. And so if the Bible, per se, has been hijacked somewhat by the bad guys to make sure that they're what they want to happen will come out. So here's what we're going to do. We want it this way. You can look at it that way, perhaps, and you can see where things can change, because us being co-creators and manifestors and being here for this purpose and doing this now is so that we can get through this transition. Now, is it something we can avoid? I don't think so. I think it's something that's necessary. I think the severity of it can alter or change, and that is very dependent on us individually and collectively and how we are aware of what's going on and can get through it or deal with it or choose to check out and say, no, I don't want to be here anymore, whatever. But I don't think we're going to get hit by another planet. I think if anything happens, it's probably going to be a plasma discharge. That's what I keep feeling, thinking. And that's going to be enough to zook a good bit of stuff. So, trying to think. Oh, there's one other vision I thought about sharing. Is a long time ago, and I wrote it down in my journal, I was outside of Earth, like in space, looking down at Earth, and what I saw, it looked like a stadium. It reminded me of a football stadium. Earth was surrounded by, well, what I saw in my vision was, I saw faces, like people in a stadium watching Earth. But it could also be the Earth is surrounded by chips, which we know it is. But there are so many here now to watch, to see how this comes out, to see how we play it out. Does anybody else have that sort of vision to things?
I believe it's going to be something wonderful at the end. It might be hard. It just might be hard. But
oh yes, I do totally agree with that. I do. And I need to get into that point too. But yeah, go ahead, Sean.
But the unaware people, the unenlightened people, they're gonna be in fear, because it is gonna be a little fearful. I believe that those are the visions or the dreams that I've had since I was like a little kid. But like I said, I'm very positive. I don't have a lot of fear in me. So, but. You know, I know people have panic attacks all the time, and I don't know how to fix them. So, but we're going to be okay. It's just
we are going to be okay.
Well, can I interrupt you, please?
Please join us.
Yeah, sorry. I don't think it's going to be. We know that people are in fear, and people are not in the know. But I think it's people like us are the ones here is going to be the teachers for the people, you know, to help them out. Like me in my area, you, Star, in your area, and you, Patrick, in your area, and there's many more. And We are the ones who will be woken up to help the people when it all comes through, because it's going to be a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful show that's going on. I mean, really, we should just sit back and just watch this show, because it's the best show. And like Star said, they're all out there, the starships, they're all there watching, and they're waiting for us to wake up the people. And this is the thing we got to do. They can only do so much, but we have got to do. This part of the puzzle is ours.
Wow. I just, it's like they're all up in there in the ships. They're all our aunts, or they're all our relatives. Like everybody, it's a huge family reunion, and everybody is waiting for the call from their relative. Everybody up there is waiting for the relative down here, ancestor, relative, whatever you want to call it, to wake up and call them.
Yeah.
You know, through mind, heart, soul, you know, it's not actually the phone, you guys know that, but.
I would say everybody has been listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and everybody in the chat, you are part of this as well, because you would not be here and listening. You're all part of it. We are no better than you. You are part of the group. It's one big loving group.
Yes. Every one of us.
Yes.
So, afterwards, let's see. I'm trying to... Afterwards, so after this event, when did Ray say the event? What did he say maybe too much that I missed, that I'm really curious to know what it was he said?
The event? The event will be when it will be. It will never be, there will never be a date on the event.
No, I meant Ray Lynn. He mentioned something about a time frame. He got asked and I was like, I missed it. What did he say?
I don't know. I didn't hear that myself. But what I'm saying, the event will always be when it will be. So that's why we got to live in the now. There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. It's the now. Everybody lives in the now. Wake up. It's the now. It's not Thursday. It's not Friday. It's the now. I know we all got to go to work and carry on and do now. 24-hour, seven jobs or whatever. But living in the heart of the now is the awakening.
That's the timeless moment.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's living in the heart now. Living in the moment. And it will happen. And I believe it will be this year. Can't say when. But we can see a lot going on in America with Trump's doing, he's draining the swamp. He's not perfect. He never is. No one else is. You know, he's not got the media on his side. He never will have. You know, he's probably got a dark side to himself as much as everybody else. But the point is, this is the opening. This is the opening of the door. And the door is going to slam open and everybody's going to say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. We're over the trauma of Laura, where we was hurt so much. And that's why the earth has been hurt so much since that day that JP talks about. The PSP.
And that's a perfect place to draw this whole conversation to a conclusion. Thank you so much. Thank you all for taking part in this, because it makes more sense if we're all part of this. And I'm talking about people who are listening to this, also on YouTube, because this is going to go up on YouTube. Of course it is. Hi to everybody on YouTube, Studio 9 Jam. you know, So there's going to be a future audience to this. And also, it's because they're drawn to this information. They're drawn to the sound of Lyra. Lyrical.
Yes.
Lyrics. The lyre.
Yes.
The harp, you know.
You know, the harp.
Yeah. You know, that's a lyra, you know. And, you know, they also depict heaven, you know, is their paradise lost. Anyway, so the trick is we can build a new heaven, a new lyra, a new thing that integrates everything, that even has a place for the Dracos.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Building a new one's not gonna be a problem. It's just we have to get rid of this here first. You know, we have to finish getting rid of the mess, and then rebuilding something new is going to be the easy part, yes.
So, with that, thank you very much, Star, Patrick, Ray, Sean. Good night.
Thank you all. Love you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Beyond.